All right. And now for our final press conference of the evening. We have been joined by a race winner of the Alsco Uniforms 300 here at Charlotte Motor Speedway, which we had to start and stop and restart a couple times today. We've been joined by our winner, Justin Algar, driver of the number 7 Chevrolet for Junior Motorsports. Justin, one quick stat I wanted to give you before we officially, open for questions, was you've now won a NASCAR Xfinity Series race in 7 straight seasons, which is a new record by a non-full-time Cup Series driver. So, quickly, before we open for questions, what does it mean for you to be able to, you know, 7 races in 7 years in the 7 car, but really win this win for Junior Motorsports, which I know is a hard fought this year?
Well, first of all, thank you guys all for sticking out and sticking around. I know it's part of the job, but this whole weekend's been kind of a hectic weekend, and I know that it's not been easy for you guys. Same with the team. I mean, to stand here tonight, to hear that stat, truly special. You know, to have 20 wins now on the career, it's definitely not cowboy status, but you know, to be in this sport, to be with a team like Junior Motorsports, and to have an opportunity. I mean, I remember as a kid just thinking if I could ever just get behind the wheel of a race car and do this for a living, and to do it and to go to victory lane now 7 straight years, and to do it with a team like we've done it with, and it's truly special. So I've been a little bit of a loss for words over the course of the night to win on Memorial Day. Obviously nobody wanted to race on Monday, but to be here on Monday, to win on Memorial Day, just truly special. And the car that we had today, I mean, Jim Pullman and this whole 7 team, I'm so proud of the effort they put in. You know, we were down early. I did a terrible job on pit road tonight. Got myself in a couple of, you know, messes, got some damage. They had to try to fix the damage up, you make adjustments, obviously saving fuel at the end of the race. There's just so many things that happened throughout the course of the night that really, I don't even know how to explain it. It was quite the race, but you know, to save the fuel like we did, to be able to make it to the end, have enough fuel to do a burnout, that was pretty special. So, you know, to have Round Canopy Parachute Team on the car, to have Defense Commissary Agency, Unilever, Brand Freshman Agriculture, all of our brands, you know, Chevrolet, the Hendrick Engine Shop. I mean, we've been burning the midnight oil and working really hard, For all of you in the media that have talked about it, I can tell you that I've not been angry, but I've definitely had a chip on my shoulder that y'all keep asking when Junior Motorsports is going to win a race. And I knew one of us needed to end that this weekend, and we finally did. So at least for a couple more weeks, y'all can ask that. I'm sure we'll have something else we can talk about, but at least for a couple more weeks, y'all can ask that.
Okay. All right. We're going to go ahead and poll for questions. We'll start up front with Mike Hembree. We'll go to Bob, and we'll make our way to the back as well.
Mike Hembree, NBC. Justin, how freaky was it to have the race split like it was? And what did you do? Did you watch the 600? Did you nap? What?
I didn't nap, no. I had a unique split between the two. You know, it's one of the more odd situations I think we've ever been in, right? To have the rain and then to have the delays and have the cup race. We actually, you know, I've been pretty lucky in my career that my oldest daughter, Harper, and my wife have been to a lot of the victories, but my youngest daughter, Willow, had never been to Victory Lane. And so we debated on what to do with her tonight. Obviously, it's late. Didn't know what was going to happen. So we actually left and went home in between the break and picked up clothes because we really didn't have clothes for her to stay the night. We didn't know what the weather was going to be like. So we went home, got clothes, went and had some lunch, watched the cup race at that point on TV while we were at lunch, and then came here. And I sat in the hall for about the last 100-150 laps and really just studied with the team on what we needed to do, what the track was doing, you know, what the conditions were like, you know, what the adjustments were. We were listening to the radio and listening to what the adjustments were on some of the cup teams. Obviously, it's different with the cup car, but I think trends are trends, right? Like we see a lot throughout the course of the sport. And to be honest with you, we made a plan. We took off, and we didn't adjust far enough. You know, that was the first pit stop. We just didn't adjust far enough. And I told Jim Pullman what I needed on the radio, and he just kept making adjustments. And the pit crew was able to execute, and we made the right adjustments. And obviously at the end there, you know, when we started saving fuel, nobody knows what to expect. 5 out of the last 6 years, I think, there's been a caution in the last fuel stage. So, you know, what are the chances of us going green like we did? And then to be able to save enough, you know, I was nervous, but I watched the fuel gauge religiously to make sure that it didn't stutter. And obviously we made it all the way to the end. So just blessed to have a great race team behind me that, you know, dots every I and crosses every T, and you know, we had all the right information and got to spend a little bit of time with the family today and then come back and go to Victory Lane tonight, and they got to be here with me. It couldn't be sweeter.
All right, Bob.
Sports. What's it like to hear, go hard, go hard? Oh, wait, now, save fuel, go hard. Like, it didn't seem, I mean, was it confusing, and was it, you know, what, how much are you just like, okay, I've just got to do what they say, and what happens, happens?
Well, obviously, they can see a lot more than I can see, right? And they understand a lot more that's going on than I understand. And, you know, Jim was trying to match the pace of what we needed to match with the 20. I think he pushed the pace a little bit to try to get in front of me, and did get in front of me, and then we were able to chase him back down. You know, Jim told me to go ahead and go get him back, and then we started saving again. And I think at some point they must have told him he was short, like not going to make it short. And that's really when I think the race turned a corner for us. We were able to really manage the gap a little bit better. And you know, between Jim and Eddie, I would say those last 15, 20 laps, you know, they did a great job of managing the gap and how much we needed to slow down. And I know I'm probably going to hear about it this week, because I'm pretty sure when he first started telling me to save fuel, I went faster. So I know that this week I'm probably going to hear about that I didn't do a good enough job on that front. But that's my fault, not his. But you know, it was confusing, because at that point, you know, I kind of knew what we needed to save, but I didn't. You know, if I'm in the car, it's hard to know how much you're saving. And at the end there, once I was able to really save, with about 5 or 7 to go, you know, I knew we were good. And Jim was on the radio telling me that if the 20 came, we were going to come. And I told him, I said, look, man, I've saved you enough. I'm willing to gamble and go for it. I felt like we've done so much homework that if they thought we were even close, there was no way I was going to come down pit road and give that one away. I wanted to go for it. I'd much rather run out of fuel tonight knowing that we were going for it than to come down pit road and play it safe. And I feel like that we made the right decisions, we made the right call, and obviously we did because we won the race, but I'm glad we stuck to our guns and kept with what the strategy was that they went with. So it was confusing, but it obviously worked out in the end.
All right, I think we had a question here in the middle. All right.
Stephen Toronto, CBS Sports. Justin, I just wanted to ask about the line you were running while you were trying to conserve fuel to get to the finish at the end, because you were running, it looked like the middle to the top lanes, and the broadcast was actually mentioning something to the effect of, you know, well, you know, Nemechek's running the bottom, it's a short way around, you know, saving fuel there. So can you explain to me the logic or what the benefits of running up higher on the racetrack to save fuel would be?
Yeah, I had a lot of debate in my head on what the right lane was going to be to run, right? I mean, I think shorter distance, obviously you're burning less fuel, you're off the gas probably a little bit more to run the bottom. The biggest reason I chose to run the middle, and I'll have to go back and study it, because I don't know if it was the right decision or not, but I felt like I was able to carry more speed decelling through the middle because the radius was so much bigger, right? I felt like I was able to lift but not have to use the brakes. To run the bottom, I was having to use a lot more brake to keep wrapping the line. And to be honest with you, the bottom was pretty treacherous tonight. You know, I felt like, especially after the cup race and the rubber got laid down, the bottom got really, really slick. And it was hard to get a hold of. If you hit it just right, it was great. You had plenty of grip. But if you missed it by a couple of inches, it really was you were just kind of sliding all over the place. And there were actually a couple lap cars there that I caught. I just didn't do a good job of getting to the bottom and actually hurt myself and put myself in a bad position. So, you know, I felt like for me the middle was the safe route. It was the calmest route. I was just able to kind of free roll the best I could. And I knew that if the 20 was going to pass me, he was going to have to be on his A game, right? He was going to have to really push himself a lot harder than I thought he needed to go to save that much fuel. So I just felt like it was the safe line. The bottom line being the shorter distance was definitely probably the preferred lane if the balance was where we wanted it to be at. But I just felt like for the balance of the car and the speed that we were making, the middle of the top was definitely a better lane for me.
Gotcha. Thank you, Justin.
Yep, thank you.
All right, we're going to go to Zach in the back. We'll work our way back up to Jordan.
Zach Sterniello, NASCAR.com. Justin, congrats on this. First of all, you guys practiced on Friday at like 3:30 in the afternoon, and then you take the checkered flag at 11:30.
On Monday,
right. As a driver, how difficult is it to find a rhythm on such a disjointed weekend like this? And then also, how different was were the track conditions through each time you got on the racetrack? Because obviously Friday was totally different. It was kind of damp this morning. Then you get 600 miles in between your in between the red flags. So what was the difference in track condition? And then just how difficult is it as a driver to find a rhythm on a weekend like this?
Well, a couple of things. Number one, the fans that we have for the sport are truly amazing. I mean, to see what our fans endured this week, and I know it's not for lack of effort. I mean, the track crew here at Charlotte Motor Speedway, the energy and effort they put into it, I mean, it was a lot that went into it. And trying to get this race in, I mean, heck, this morning we ran, it was raining at certain points. I about crashed coming to the end of the first stage. I mean, it was just wild. But you know what was interesting was Friday I ran the bottom a lot because I felt like for today that was going to be a big difference maker. And I was halfway through victory lane before I even realized we got the pole for this week. So, like, it seems like forever ago that we even got the pole. I felt like it was last week that we got the pole. But, you know, I just felt like throughout the course of the weekend, you know, being here Friday, having a good day, I mean, beautiful weather for Friday, and then Saturday coming in and, you know, getting the rain and not really sure what was going to happen, and then getting the call that we were going to call it until Monday. I mean, that's a bold strategy. It worked, and you know, Sunday was a complete wash, but you know, I didn't know what to expect. So then you spend Sunday, and you know, I watched Monaco and Indy like probably everybody else because that was what was on, right? But then to come in this morning to have the rain, track conditions were pretty wild. I mean, they were pretty hairy. You know, I think a lot of cars moved up because of the rain. And then the 600 miles from the Coke 600. I mean, I don't know if y'all know how much rubber gets laid down in a 600 mile race, but it's a lot. Even with the conditions being as cool as it is, the bottom lane was like stacked with rubber. It was pretty wild. So I knew, you know, just being around the sport for enough years and being lucky enough to be, you know, in a lot of different scenarios, I feel like this weekend went pretty seamlessly, you know, to manage it because you're behind, right? Like, you don't know what to expect when you're a rookie and you're trying to learn all these things, and now you break it all up. But you know, I've been training with Josh Wise and his group. With Chevrolet, and you know, there's been a lot of things that I've changed in my routine to be good in these scenarios, and I felt like this weekend just worked perfectly. I did all the right things. I felt like mentally, physically, emotionally, I was ready to go when the green flag dropped every time, and that's what it took. And you know, again, proud of the team because the effort was there all day. Even when I was making mistakes early on, they still were 100%, you know, pushing me to be better. And that's, you know, this is a team effort, and it takes a village to make this race team work, and we did a great job of that. Well, I think just preparation, right? I mean, for me, I think you get, I don't know if lazy is the right word for it, but I feel like, you know, over time I've things worked, and so you don't really change, right? And I think this year I've been pushed, and I've pushed myself a lot more to be more methodical, to be in better shape. I mean, I've worked my tail off to try to get myself in better shape physically. But I would say as much physical change as there's been equally that much of mental change. You know, I got plenty of gray hair. If you've been up close to me, I got plenty of gray hair to prove that I've been around the block a time or two. But I think that even as I get older, I'm still learning every time I go to the racetrack. I learned things tonight on pit road that I need to do better. And I'm going to have to go back. You know, we won the race tonight, and I'm looking at all the things that I did wrong, right? There's all the things that I need to go back and highlight and look at and be better, you know, come Monday or Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and go to Portland and use those to my advantage. So, you know, I think a lot of it's just been being more prepared, and I've done a better job of that this year. And, you know, I don't know how many more chances I'm going to have fantastic race cars like I've had right now. And we'll make the most of it while I got the opportunity.
All right. Cameron, did you have a question? You're all good? Okay. We'll come up here and end with Jordan.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. So what's the vibe been like at JRM over the last few weeks as the windless drought continues to go on and on?
Honestly, it's actually been really good. And the reason that it's been really good is because we've had speed. You know, I look at all these races, and if it comes down to execution, if it comes down to luck, whatever you want to call it, and not just our 17, I mean, all four cars at Junior Motorsports have been fast week in and week out. We've just not been able to get that little bit extra to be able to go to victory lane. And I really truly hope that, this is kind of the catalyst that brings it all together, right? This is the last little tip that you need to be able to push everybody to keep going. I mean, it's not, again, it's not for lack of effort. You know, everybody has worked tirelessly to make sure that we're moving in a forward direction. And not even just on the shop floor, the front office, the marketing and PR staff, the men and women that are in our shop truly have invested time and energy into this to make our program better. People that have not been in the four walls of our shop don't understand the camaraderie and the teamwork and just the atmosphere that we have. It's such a great atmosphere. I love our race team and the personalities that we have. So I've wanted to win this race this year probably as much for everybody else as, like, I'm to the point where in my career where I want to win, but it's not what's defining the next thing, right? This one truly was for everybody else in our shop, that I wanted them to feel like that some reward for the effort that they put in. And seeing the smiles in Victory Lane tonight, and all the team members of JRM that stopped me on pit road, you know, that there's, I've been emotional this evening because of just what it means to our race shop and what it means to our race team. And I know that Dale and Kelly and LW and Joe Mattis and everybody that's a part of it, really, they truly are invested in making this race team the best race team in the garage, and it means a lot to me.
You're the senior driver at JRM. So has there been, like, speeches you had to give, any motivational pep talks or anything, or is it business as usual?
You know, I think the one thing that I love about our team is we've got four incredibly hungry, incredibly talented, and just awesome team members, our teammates that are racing right now, right? We're enjoying the group that we've got. The crew chiefs are working well together. You know, we came here this weekend with a significantly different ideas as far as setups go between our four cars, right? Everybody's trying to figure out what they can do to make our program better. And I think that as we keep learning and as we keep growing, you know, there's significant rule changes this year. You know, you look at what we had for the Xfinity Series, there's significant rule changes. And I feel like it didn't hurt us in the ways that we thought it was going to hurt us. You know, that's probably the most frustrating part is that it didn't do what we thought it was going to do. And, you know, we kind of went down a path, and then we've had to revert a little bit and go back and do some other things differently. And so I think this win just validates what we're doing and the effort that we're putting in. And you know, I know that tomorrow morning when we have our meeting, it's gonna feel really good for everybody to know that we went to Victory Lane and we can build on what we learned this weekend. But I think for me, I've made it very clear that we're not giving up and that we're gonna keep pushing. And the drivers, all four drivers have committed to working hard, and all four drivers have committed to doing what we need to do to win. And so have the team members. So, you know, we just got to go for it. Yep.
All right, Justin, congratulations again. Thanks for hanging with us tonight.
You're welcome.
We wish you best of luck next weekend in Portland.
Thank you. I'm a little disappointed, though, because I don't think I get to pick my pit stall next week. So for all of you, if you want to make a vote, make sure I'm right, first of all. But if you want to make a vote for next year that we pick pits at Portland based on qualifying at Charlotte and I can get the pole again, I'd be very happy.
All right.